Now, madam, Lotta Lehman is in Chicago, and certainly she is as vital a human being as ever. And her career, of course, is far from ended. She merely began a new one as a teacher, so that the tradition, more than just a vocal tradition, but an artistic tradition in itself, can continue, that of setting own standards and being true to them. And so, the interview of the other day with Madame Lotta Lehman. It was 1924. An artist was on the stage. It was her role, the Marschallin, and Strauss's The Rosen Cavalier, and the dean of London music critics, Ernest Newman, wrote of her performance. An exquisite singer with a voice capable of the most delicate inflections, and an actress whose quiet ease is the perfection of the art that conceals art. The art that conceals art, perhaps, is the best way of describing the work, the remarkable talents of Madame Lotta Lehman, who is our guest this morning on the program. At the moment, we're in her suite at the Georgian Hotel in Evanston. Madame Lehman, who so many consider the finest leader singer of our century, certainly interpreter of songs and certainly the arias and operas, is teaching Madame Lehman at Northwestern University.
Yes, courses in demonstration courses in, for leader singing and arias. But I would like very much to go back what you just quoted, the remark of Mr. Newman that I am, what did he say, quiet ease. It's slightly exaggerated because I remember this performance very vividly. I was for the first time in London. I got this offer for London some weeks before, and it was the contract was dependent on the fact that I had to sing the Marschallin. But I sang at that time Octavian and hadn't learned the Marschallin at all. But when I looked at the contract, London Covent Garden, the conductor Bruno Walter, I signed very boldly. I have never regretted it. But I came to London with great misgivings, because the Marschallin is one of those parts that one has to grow into. One cannot conquer this kind of role very quickly. I knew it musically, but that was really all. And Bruno Walter helped me tremendously. He was really one of my greatest teachers, I must say. And that I fitted slightly in this excellent performance with Elizabeth Schumann and Delia Reinhardt and Richard Meyer was quite an achievement. But I almost died from stage fright. You can imagine that.
You remember this so vividly.
Oh, very much so. I have sung in, I don't know if you know that, I have sung in Rosenkavalier all three roles. First as a young beginner, Sophie. And 1914, I came for the first time to London and sang Sophie under Sir Thomas Beecham in Drury Lane. I took the place of Père Dux, who had cancelled the performance. But nobody really in London remembers that, inclusive with Thomas Beecham, because I remember that he once heard me later on as a Marschallin, and that he said to somebody, to me quite amazing, is that the same person who sang Sophie and almost died on the stage from fright?
And then there's the third role, Octavian.
Octavian, yeah. First I sang Sophie, later Octavian, and then the Marschallin.
Which brings us to a very interesting point here. Well, several questions come up as you're speaking now, remembering. One earlier said, you had misgivings. You knew it musically.
Yeah.
But what was it you were not sure of? The interpretation?
Oh, the character. I mean, the subtleties which are demanded for in a role like that. I think the greatest singer on earth, if she is not an actress, can never be a good Marschallin. The Marschallin has to be really a singing actress to do justice to this part. I have always loved it very much. It was really one of my favorite parts.
This phrase, well, your favorite part, it is, I mean, no one thinks of the Marschallin without thinking of Lotta Lehman. I mean, this is, if we may say, this is your role.
Oh, nobody is irreplaceable in life. And I really, as much as I am happy, naturally, if one always remembers me as Marschallin, I think one does injustice to those who come later when one starts to compare. I think the greater a personality is, the less one should compare. If somebody acts, for instance, plays the Marschallin entirely different from my conception, that may be also quite wonderful and
It is remarkable that you say this. Here, you used the phrase earlier, the singing actress. A singer must be an actress. And here you speak of someone whose interpretation is so wholly different.
Yeah.
The matter of drama as well as music here.
Yes. General, that is the secret of interpretation. You know, if everybody would sing the same way, let's say concert program, some singer would sing it very beautifully. And now everybody takes this one singer as a model. Model. And does it in the same way. Wouldn't that be boring? I mean, then one has heard it once and one says, I don't go ever in my life again to a concert. I have heard everything. No, it should be different. It should fit to the personality. And that is what I always strive to do in my teaching. And not that I want them to imitate me. Imitation is always a sign of an artistic weakness. I only want to arouse their imagination and to develop their personalities. Naturally, in some weeks here at Northwestern, how can I do it? I mean, I can only give a glimpse. I can only open a door. But if somebody studies for a longer time with me, in winter time, for instance, when I have in Santa Barbara at the Music Academy of the West, a very small and selected class where I can go very much into details. There it is possible that I achieve what I want to achieve, to develop the personalities.
Something you just said about opening avenues. I met a student, one of the people attending one of your classes, I think it was last year or the year before at Northwestern.
Yeah.
And what she said, she spoke very emotionally, of course, very moved. She says, her eyes were opened, aside from her ears, and the inspiration, this vitality that you give, repeating in her way what you have said about
I've heard that often of students, that they say, when I say, now this is only a very short time that I can be here, and I can only give you very little, that they answer me, but you have opened a new conception for us, and that is something, you know, something which may blossom out really later on. That when these young people develop into real artists, that this comes back what they have heard, what I told them. And then they can develop it into their own personality.
This matter you spoke of, develop into your own personalities, which you try to teach your students, which you have done so eloquently on the opera and the concert stage. Something you said, you may not even recall you saying it. You were speaking of leader singing, and this is a quote of yours I found. I like to feel that my singing is not a finite thing in itself, but rather the means of communicating my personal convictions.
Yes, yes. That's quite nicely expressed. I had forgotten that entirely.
That you said it.
But it's quite well expressed. What else do you want to know?
Oh, as much as you want to tell me. The role of the marshal, and I'm thinking about this, there were three different roles. There was the young ingenue, the girl.
Yeah.
There was the handsome young boy. And finally, the most interesting of all, this woman of attractiveness, but who feels... How did you feel at that?
She is on the threshold of that age where resignation waits around the corner and has a last fling with her young Octavian. I don't think that she really has taken this affair very seriously. She is enchanted by him, but she is much too wise not to know that this will have a very... very certain ending. The ending is there earlier than she likes it, perhaps, but she is great enough to say goodbye with a smile.
She's really a wise and wonderful heroine.
Oh, absolutely. I think she's a wonderful woman. And I personally have learned very much from this opera role. It may sound strange, but it's really true. When I stopped singing concerts, for instance, it would have made me terribly unhappy, perhaps. But I have learned that one has to obey the command of time, and one has to obey without flinching and without repulsing this idea. And therefore, I really could say goodbye with a smile.
And so gracefully, I think it was Irving Culloden who wrote a great deal of your own feelings on this subject. And To me, this is so important, Madame Lehman, today when people, there's a play in town.
Yeah.
Dealing with the flight of youth. People are so afraid.
Yeah.
Afraid of losing the calendar youth. You know?
Yes. Yes, and then, you know, when I was a young singer, I had already decided when the time comes that I think I should stop, I will. And I have always tried to be very objective with myself. And the time when, as it was 1951, when I ceased to sing concerts, all my friends were horrified. Everybody said to me, but that's ridiculous, you could certainly sing some more years. It would have been perhaps possible, but I didn't want to. I couldn't do any more what I was accustomed to do. I was always an artist who gave everything, gave out of the fullness of my emotion. And I couldn't do that anymore, because when I made up a program, I had to be careful. I had to leave out songs, for instance, which were too strenuous for me, too dramatic, which were not anymore in my reach. And that I couldn't stand. And through the last year of my concert career, I suffered terribly. And I was not fooled by the applause, by the loyalty of my audience. Very often when I came home after a concert which had been tremendously successful, I was weeping the whole night because I had the feeling I really have betrayed my audience, because I didn't give any more what I was able to give some years ago.
The artist is setting her own standard.
Yes, which is much more important than the standard which others set for the artist.
You raise a point here that can't be emphasized too much, coming from you, Madame Lehman, this point of the artist must satisfy himself.
Yes.
You were not compromised by the applause.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I went so far. I remember, you know, Paul Ulanowski was my accompanist for a long time. I went so far often that when I came to the artist room in an intermission, I said, oh, I think this was terrible. He said, Lotte, don't be so foolish. Didn't you hear how the people liked it? I said, now, perhaps they like me so that they applaud because they pity me. So I was convinced that I wasn't good anymore. And you know, something very strange happened. After I had sung my last concert, very soon after that, my voice disappeared entirely. Now, this may be something entirely mentally, because it is too strange. I listen now to my last farewell concert recording. It's not too bad. I mean, it's not so that the voice had disappeared. There was very much which I didn't like, but it is not bad. But I couldn't sing anymore. The voice absolutely left me forever. I'm unable to sing.
After you decided
After
to retire.
After I have decided. It is so as if my voice said, that was very good, my dear. Now I go away.
It's as though your voice followed your heart.
Yes, yes.
We come back to this theme of yours, and what you've just said seems to buttress this so well. The means of communicating my personal convictions. And if you cannot communicate this up to the standards that you have set that are so high, you will not.
Yes. Therefore, every artificiality is something which I dislike very much. There are young singers who do what I say from the outside, you know? And in a short time, one cannot alter that. I can only try to. But they have to believe it. They have to feel it, really. Only then it will go over to the public. And the audience is really very, very sensitive. I think they feel that very soon. They may be fooled by somebody for a time. But I think in a longer run, only the real sincere artist will hold their love.
Something you said here, from the inside.
Yeah.
I mean, it is easy to trick. It is easy to have tricks on
That's
the outside.
That's it. But I think that the audience very soon feels this is a trick. And very soon feels what is thought out and what is felt.
You feel the audience itself, this matter of communication you're talking about, they are communicating too then.
Oh, right? Definitely, definitely. I think it is always a take and give. There are two kind of singers. Those who stand there like on a pedestal and sing above the heads of the audience, or those who feel one with the audience. I always felt one with my audience. I always had the feeling I would like to go down and take their hands and enjoy what I do now together with them. And I think that that really has been the secret of my success as a concert singer, because I have very often heard that people from the audience said to me something very strange. You know, Madame Lehmann, when you sing, I have the feeling you sing for me personally. And in a certain sense, I did it, because for me, the audience was one person to whom I could speak. And I knew this person understands me, and this person enjoys me in this moment, as I enjoy my singing.
The intimacy of the art here.
It is my privilege to speak today with one of the greatest and most beloved